Today's sermon is entitled Laughing at Easter, and I anticipate we'll laugh, and we certainly have and will sing songs of praise. But we do so in light of the fact that many of you may have heard of a tragedy in Sri Lanka, a series of 8 bombings at Christian churches and hotels that have taken some 200 lives and have wreaked great havoc. We lift our hearts and give them out to them in this time with Christian love and compassion. But at the same time, we will sing and laugh as an act of defiance. As an act of defiance to say that evil does not have the last word. And that's what Easter's all about. It is on this day that we profess that while there is still power in evil and death and sin, as our denomination's declaration of faith says, we nevertheless, because of the resurrection of Christ, treat them as broken powers. And at Easter, we look forward to that day when God's ultimate victory will be known. Our scripture lesson today comes from the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel. It's his resurrection account, the first part of it anyway. I'll read verses 1 through 12. Listen again for God's word. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly 2 men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man would be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One group of Christians celebrates Easter in an unusual way. Among all the different varieties, among the various branches of the Christian church, and in how they celebrate this day, perhaps none is so strange, and yet in its own way so strangely fitting, as one tradition in the Eastern Orthodox Church. In that part of the Christian Church, the day after Easter is set aside as a day of laughter and hilarity. On the day after Easter, in these solemn, tradition-bound Orthodox churches, the people will gather in the sanctuary for worship and to hear the priest tell jokes. Not particularly religious jokes, mind you, but jokes that tease laughter out of the worshipers. It's fun to imagine. Try to imagine the heavily bearded priest in full Orthodox regalia, with the twinkle in his eyes as he looks out upon the congregation on such an occasion. Imagine the laughter of the congregation cutting through the heavy aroma of the incense and ricocheting off the ancient stone walls. What a strange tradition, points out Dean Martin Copenhaver of Yale Divinity School, and yet in its own way, so strangely fitting. In one Wisconsin congregation where I served as an interim, on the Sunday after Easter, they observed Holy Hilarity Sunday. There was worship, but primarily the pastor and other worship leaders told jokes one right after the other. And I know of other churches, some of them very dignified New England churches, when on Easter itself, the pastor would use the children's sermon to tell silly jokes, knock-knock jokes, elephant jokes, and the like. Whatever got the kids to laugh. And at those congregations, the people gathered for worship on Easter, and here's the preacher telling jokes. I, of course, would never do that. Much too dignified a congregation. I'm much above that. Okay, some people have twisted my arm, and I just have just two or three. A notice in a farmer's field read, "The farmer allows runners to cross for free, but the bull charges." An announcement on a church sign, "Don't let worry kill you off, let the church help." And a church bulletin read, "The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus." Am I right that it seems like a strange way to celebrate Easter? No doubt about it, but let me tell you why it's also strangely fitting. Consider for a moment what prompts us to laugh. A number of philosophers and sociologists have all taken a stab at defining what makes something funny, and some have produced elaborate theories. Chip cited some of those in a sermon just last month, but among all these great thinkers, there's no tried and true consensus on what makes something funny. But there is at least one recurring theme. Much humor is based on surprise, on the reversal of expectations. Let me try one more story to test the theory. Did you hear the one about the Presbyterian clergy couple who decided to get a new dog? Ever mindful of the dignified congregation, they knew the dog had to be a Presbyterian. So they visited kennel after kennel and explained their needs, and finally they found at one kennel an owner who said he had exactly the dog they needed. The owner brought the dog to meet the pastors, and then he said, "Fido, fetch the Bible." And with that, the dog ran to a crowded bookshelf, jumped up, and with its jaws grabbed out a Bible among all those other books, brought it to the feet of its owner, and dropped the Bible there on the floor. And then the owner said, "Fido, find Psalm 23. And so the dog, showing amazing dexterity with its paws, leafed through and found the correct passage and pointed to it with his paw. Well, the pastors were amazed and, of course, immediately purchased the dog. And that evening, they had a group of their church from their church come over to show off the dog and had him locate a number of Bible verses, of course, John 3:16 being one of them. And the visitors were very impressed. And finally, one visitor asked him, "Can the dog do regular dog tricks too?" And the husband thought about it and said, "Well, actually, we haven't tried." And so he pointed his finger at the dog and said, "Fido, heel." And the dog immediately jumped on the chair and placed one paw on the husband's forehead and began to howl. And the pastors looked at each other in shock and said, "Good heavens, this dog is a Pentecostal." Surprise, you see, is a reversal of expectations, a sudden upending of the usual order of things. That's one of the essential elements of humor. And Martin Copenhagen points out that it's also an important biblical theme as well. It's so important, in fact, this is the third sermon in less than a year that this congregation has heard on that very theme. In fact, it was no accident that my first sermon here last September was from Genesis, about God visiting Abraham and Sarah and telling Abraham that he and Sarah would give birth to a son. And that's all well and good, but they're having a hard time getting pregnant, and Sarah is 90 when the divine visitor came to their home to tell them this. So she is standing in the kitchen doorway, and she happens to overhear this conversation, and of course, Sarah laughs. Who can blame her? She laughs at this surprising turn of events. Not a little laugh, but a big belly laugh. She laughs at the thought of her baby being born in a geriatric ward and Medicare picking up the tab. And when the boy is born, they name this little baby Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. And just last month, using a parallel passage, Chip preached on a similar theme about Abraham and Sarah and the baby Isaac. Yes, my friends, our God is a God of surprises. He is always taking our expectations and literally upending them. And that is nowhere more true than in the life of Jesus. Says one theologian, for God to appear in human form is surprising enough. But consider what kind of human life God chose. God did not come as a mighty king or a learned priest, but as an untutored peasant from a backwater town speaking in a country dialect. When Jesus recruited followers, he didn't seek out the best and brightest, and instead he brought together a ragtag group, and each one chosen as one might choose a gift from a grab bag. And yet Jesus told this very group that they were to spread the gospel throughout the world. He said that in his realm, children will be sitting at the head table along with the poor and those who are outcast, while the powerful and the influential will be bussing the tables. Jesus was always reversing expectations, upending the usual order of things. Now, the people in charge, the folks who didn't want things upended because they were sitting on top, they determined to stop Jesus. And when they couldn't find any other way, they killed him. It's called Good Friday, the final answer. Only God in Christ was not yet finished reversing expectations, upending the usual order of things. Easter is the ultimate surprise, the punchline of God's story, turning the world on its head with the most surprising reversal of all. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Don't go home and tell your friends and family that the newest interim pastor at the church believes the resurrection is a joke. I'm not saying that at all. Rather, the good news of Easter is that God's joke is on us. It is God's unexpected surprise for us. Here are the women walking to the tomb, grieving because death has had its way. And then two men in dazzling clothes say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen." They had doubted that there was any hope in the face of Caesar's power. But now their expectations have been reversed. They doubted that there were any cracks in the universal reign of death. But surprise, now they know the cracks are there. They doubted God's power on earth, but now they're sure of it. They doubted that there was any place for love or tenderness or forgiveness in this old world, but now they're certain there is. Yes, one of the reasons you see that joking and jesting are so fitting for Easter is because of the big joke God pulled on the last enemy in the resurrection. The forces of evil didn't win after all, and they're not going to win today. Death celebrated with a victory dance, but it was premature because the game was not yet over. You see, my friends, Easter demonstrates God's grace has the last word. Or better, God's grace has the last laugh. In fact, God insists on the last laugh. Yes, surprise is part of laughter, but there's one other characteristic of laughter that makes it so appropriate for Easter. And briefly, it is this. Laughter is a lot like faith. For both, we have to get it. And we can't by our own efforts. Both are brought forth from us. Laughter, like faith, is evoked from us. We cannot make ourselves truly laugh. Maybe a polite chuckle or something, but not truly laugh. We have to catch on to what is so funny, and then it brings forth from us laughter. The joke is told, and we get it, and so we laugh. We don't get it on our own. Someone or something else makes us laugh, gives us joy. When it's a good one, we get it as a gift. And so it is with faith. We have to get it. And it's given to us by the grace of God. Faith is not something we get on our own. We get it because God's love and mercy bring it forth from within us. We cannot make ourselves believe in Jesus Christ. We cannot make ourselves believe in Christ's resurrection. Faith is evoked from us by what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Faith, like laughter, is a gift. We get it because it is given to us by God in Christ. And the women at the tomb get it and become the first evangelists, the first to share the joy of victory over death that God has won, telling the disciples this wonderful good news. And at first, the disciples don't get it, considering the good news an idle tale. In other words, they laughed at Easter. But friends, God had the last laugh. Let me close by telling you one more good one. It makes me smile just to think of it. It's so hilarious it can bring you to your knees as it brings forth your laughter. I hope you really get it. Are you ready for the punchline? Try not to laugh too hard, but here it is. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.